The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all of the world, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending a service on the internet all over the world, GCN and Mamin TV viewing audiences, this is the 25th session on 1 John lecture series. 1 John chapter 3 verses 7 and 8 says, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil." As you read the Bible, please keep this kind of verse in mind. The one who practices sin is of the devil. I always tell you. But if suppose I speak to you like you are of the devil, you'd be offended, right? Oh, I'm a servant of God. I'm an elder. I'm a believer. I'm a son and daughter of God. And how can I be of the devil? But the word of God says you are of the devil. Who? The one who practices sin. When Peter made a fleshly confession, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he was receiving the work of Satan. So Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." So if you speak fleshly words, and if you speak words of flesh, and I say to you, "Get behind me, Satan," then you could be offended. But no matter what, if you are still thankful, "Oh, Senior Pastor, thank you. Thank you for letting me realize." And if you can really give thanks from the heart, then it means you are already you are close. You are getting close to Spirit. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. When an evil person deceives others, he makes it sound convincing by disguising it as the truth. For example, if somebody needs a guarantor for his loan, he wouldn't explain honestly, saying, "I'm going to do some risk business, and I don't have the funds, so please be my guarantor for my loan." When somebody asks you for a loan, is there anybody who speaks like this? "Oh, I'm doing a risky business, and I don't have the funds, so please be my guarantor." If this goes wrong, you might have to assume a great loss, but I will try my best not to let that happen. There is nobody who explains the fact like this. Instead, he would only explain the good points, saying, "My business will certainly succeed, and soon I will have more funds. Now is a very good timing for the investment, and being my guarantor is only for just a couple of months. Then I will pay you back handsomely. There is no chance for any problem to rise, but even if there is, I will guarantee the return of your investment." If you can guarantee something, why would you need a guarantor in the first place? In this kind of situation, those who have engraved the Word of God do not need to think about it. There is no reason to think about it. They can just obey the Word of God no matter what. But those who don't keep the truth in their mind will begin to use their own thoughts like, "We've had a long-term friendship, so why shouldn't I help him when he's in need?" Also, especially between brothers or family members. But if you are brothers, if you are really brothers, you will not ask for money when you are in a difficult situation. You will not ask for money to your... There is no guarantee that you will succeed. And you cannot ask your brother or family members. But you think, oh, it's because my brother who is asking me. If I refuse, he will get offended. And if you... If they get offended just because you don't lend him any money, he's not your brother. He can't be your brother. And if he goes wrong, you will also fail with him. And your family can also be destroyed. And how can a real brother ask for such a thing? Please keep it in mind. That's not love. That's not love between brothers. If you have love, you will not ask for your brother to become guarantor for your loan. You can't ask such a thing. Oh, he's not even asking me to give him money. It's just for a couple of months, and if I refuse, I would appear to be merciless. I would feel ashamed to see him again. At the same time, you also have some desire for money, for he did say he would pay you back handsomely. But no matter how many good points there may be, if you become his guarantor, it is disobedience to the word of God. It is a foolish act that creates a wall of sin against God and that causes calamities to come upon you. Giving such excuses as, I was deceived by an evil person, I committed sin because he was urging me to do it, cannot solve any problem. Because you disobey the word of God, no matter what it is, God cannot be with you. God cannot protect you because you break the word of God. Even though he loves you so much, because you disobey the word of God, he can't help you. Even though Jonah was a prophet, when he was disobeying the word of God, there was a storm. And if he didn't repent, he would have been drowned. It's not because of anybody else, but because you did not have the truth in your heart. It was because you were not on alert spiritually. Only you can be responsible for the results of your actions that occur. Because you did not keep the word of God in mind and you departed from the way of truth. When Satan tempts people to sin, the temptation is very tactful. He gives people so many reasons that might make them disobey the word of God. He doesn't explain the truth saying, God hates these actions, and if you keep on doing these things, you can have pleasure for a moment, but you will soon face great disasters and punishment. He gives you many excuses to walk away from the word of God. For example, he says, of course, it would be good to live by the truth 100%, but you are not even a pastor, and how can you? In this age today, how can this kind of act be considered sin? You don't have enough faith yet, so if you can't enjoy all these things just because you go to church, your Christian life will be so boring and hard. When the pastor says that you will go to hell if you love the world, it is just a warning that is really meant to keep you from committing greater sins. Besides, you can just take some worldly things and turn back later, which is not according to the truth at all. If you sin, you'll have more and more, greater and greater walls of sin, and the more time goes, the more it will be difficult for you to return and repent. After accumulating so many sins, if you want to repent, can you? No. He tempts you this way to cause you to accept and gradually get deeper into the world little by little. Moreover, with TV and internet, the world is being stained with sins much faster than in the past. You can easily access the methods to commit crimes, and even students and young children are exposed to obscene and violent materials. They see and hear evil every day, so their hearts also become hardened. Long ago, people would tear their heart over a certain kind of sin. But today, they just say, it's no big deal. Things like that just happen. Even when they see something good, their hearts are not touched. When they see something evil, they can't really feel how evil it is. In the 50s and 60s in Korea, most movies were sad movies. So the actors, those who cried a lot, they were good actors. And without seeing sad movies, they wouldn't say it is fun. You know, they say it is fun after crying so much. So they cry together, seeing the movie. And as they cry together, they think it is good. Because they feel the story in the movie is same as their own story. They empathize because we had this Korean War in the 50s. Because things were so bad. They were in so much hardships. Without any food, they had to eat the tree roots or the bark of the trees. And also the family members, they were all separated. Or they were killed. And it was such a tragic era, tragic time. There were so many beggars, and also in winter there were so many people who froze to death. Because they lived in such a poverty and such tragedy, they cried together, seeing sad movies, and they were saying it was a good movie. But today, people wouldn't watch this kind of sad movies. This is not concerning just unbelievers. The religious conscience of the believers has changed too. They do something against the will of God, but they don't consider it a great sin, saying all other believers are doing it too. They say they love God in the church, but they just seek their own benefit in the world. They cause damage to others for their own benefit, but they give excuses, saying they couldn't help it because they were in a very difficult situation. Some of them give excuses, but some others, they say, it's not my fault. Even though the other person had to take up so much, assume so much loss, they say it's not their fault. They commit adultery and give excuses, saying, I was just too lonely. So they give such excuses. Or they blame the others, saying, that person liked me so much and I couldn't help it. He told me it was okay because we are going to get married. Who taught like that? You know, if you go to get married, you can give your body. Oh, he liked me so much, but I didn't like him so much. I didn't like him, but because he liked me so much, if I cut him off, I was worried that he might be offended. That's why I allowed it. She did something to drag her to hell, and after doing that, she says she did it because he's a new believer, and he might be a she might stumble. So there are excuses. There are so many kinds of people. But in any case, the truth of God never changes. The standard of judgment for salvation never changes. As it is said, little children, make sure no one deceives you. You must never be deceived by Satan. Even though darkness becomes increasingly thicker and the world is increasingly being stained with sins, God's children have to dwell in the light. The reason why God gave His one and only Son, Jesus, to suffer on the cross was not to save those who willfully continue to commit sins. It was to destroy the works of the devil that caused people to commit sins and go the way of death. It was to allow for us to live righteous lives just as Jesus Christ is righteous. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, the lions, when they get hungry, what do? They roar, and their voices so strong, and the people in the world, they say the whole nature is shaking. You know, they exaggerate. So they prowl around, seeking someone to devour. It's the same with the enemy, devil, and Satan. What they eat is the man of flesh who commits sins. Those who commit sins, they are the prey of the devil. They're seeking, the devil is seeking such people. But resist him firm in your faith. The devil prowls around this earth like a hungry lion searching for his prey. Beginning with Adam and Eve and until the day of the final judgment, the devil will tempt all mankind and drag them into sins. I already explained about the origin and roles of the devil in the Genesis lectures and messages on the world of evil spirits. Briefly, the archangel Lucifer became arrogant and wanted to become lifted up like God. She tempted the dragons and many other cherubim. She also caused one-third of all angels that were under her authority to participate in the rebellion. But even though she was a great archangel, obviously she could not win against God the Creator, who created all things. God subdued them in a moment and put them in the deep darkness of the abyss. But after a long period of time passed, when God began human cultivation, God released some of the evil spirits, including Lucifer, from the abyss. God let them stay in the air, in the second heaven, and used them as instruments to cultivate human beings. Since then, the evil spirits tempt man and stand against God. But this is also possible because God has allowed for them to do so. The evil spirits can enjoy their authority only within the limitations that God has set for human cultivation. There is a framework. There is a limit that God has set. There is a boundary. So the evil spirits can disturb and tempt people. They cannot go over that limit. So that's why those with good faith, they can always overcome. But Lucifer still does not realize her arrogance and foolishness. She still thinks she can match the wisdom of God and that she can break off the providence of God by tempting the human beings to commit sins. That is why she has been doing so many evil things until this day. It's the same in the world. If you look at the fleshly man, suppose, think about gambling. They lost once, two times, three times. And the wives, they would beg them to stop gambling. You know, all other relatives, they will try to stop him from gambling. Please, just forget about it and stop. But who would listen? They don't listen. Maybe 95%. They don't listen. They will say, oh, I'll win once and I will get all my money back and I'll stop. But even if they get their money back, they will not stop. They want to earn more, so they will keep on gambling. But it doesn't work that way. They think one day they will be rich, they will win. But all gamblers must be rich, but there is no gambler who is rich. We hear so much more that they all failed. Even though they are professionals, you know, they don't really succeed. Those who like mountain climbing, they might fall from the mountain and die. That is why she has been doing so many evil things until this day. She tempted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge And in the Old Testament, she persecuted men of God to hinder with the works of God. When Jesus came to this earth, she instigated the evil persons to crucify Jesus. It is the role of the devil to make people commit sins. If you commit sins, then you are obeying the instigation of the devil. The terms Satan, devil, demons, and the rulers of the kingdom of the air do not have similar meanings. Each of them refers to a different entity. Satan is the heart of Lucifer. So I explained all these different terms before. It exists in the air like a radio wave, and it puts the evil thoughts into the hearts of men. So Satan, you cannot see it, but it is everywhere in the air, just like a radio wave. It reads your heart, heart of flesh, heart of untruth. So it moves the sinful natures to put it into action through your thoughts. It instigates your heart, controls your heart. Because you have untruth, because you have evil in your heart, you're controlled by Satan. But men of spirit, they don't have any evil, so they cannot be controlled by Satan. And they don't have any fleshly thoughts. But men of untruth, men of flesh, they are the ones who are controlled by Satan. Now the devil is the one that makes people put into practice the evil thoughts that they accepted in their minds. The one that controls the thoughts are demons or devil or Satan. It's the Satan that controls the thoughts. So Satan controls your thoughts, and to make you put it into practice, that is the work of the devil. Those angels that rebelled against God and were confined in the abyss are still confined there. But only a very small number of them were released. Only as many as were needed for human cultivation, and they are serving as the devil and messengers of hell. Because the number of angels that rebelled with Lucifer was so many, only a very small number of them are enough to be used for human cultivation. So you can imagine how many the numbers are, the number is, the number of angels, heavenly army and angels. And in the end, you know how many people are there. Suppose 7 billion people. And to each believer, there'll be a guardian angel. And to all of them, all of human race, one angel is assigned. So for believers, there are two angels. One is the one that is checking all, recording all your words and actions at heart in heaven, and also the guardian angel on this earth. So there'll be so many angels just for the people. And so many more. The enemy devil constantly incites the people to commit sins and stand against God throughout the history of mankind. When there were people who delivered the will of God, the devil instigated evil persons to persecute and kill them. Without realizing it, numerous people who did not know the truth became instruments of the devil and stood against God. Of course, they do not think they are instigated by anybody. They just think that they are thinking and doing what they want to do. So, when you commit sins, you think you committed sins, but you don't think in most cases that Satan instigated you to commit sins. But in fact, any thought that is not of the truth is the work of Satan. Any action that is not of truth is obedience to the instigation of the devil. It's the same with believers in God. They might say they believe, but if they do not live by the word of God, but live in sins and stand against God, it is to obey the devil. Those of you who know the truth must not accept any temptation of the devil anymore. You being the children of God cannot obey the devil. That is the enemy of God. I hope you will always be on the alert, stand firm in the truth, and be awakened in spirit. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will demolish the schemes of the enemy devil and Satan with the word of God and boldly keep marching on towards the holy city. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the following verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it continues to warn us about sins. It says, no one who is born of God practices sin. Are you born of God or are you born of the devil? If you are born of God, please raise your hands. No one who is born of God practices sin. So those who do not commit sins, they are born of God. So if you commit sins, you are of the devil. But here, it means none of you is, I think all of you raised your hands, so none of you is committing sins. When did you all go into spirit? So very quickly. It's just a couple of months since we had this leadership conference. Or maybe you are already past the rock of faith. I'm very thankful. So no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. Why do they not commit sins? Because his seed, God's seed, abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And if you are born of God, you are born of God, the holy God, the judge and the creator. And if you are sons and daughters of God the creator, how can you just ignore God's word and commit sins? So if you are born of God, you can never commit sins. It is to despise God, mock God. It is to make God mockable. Oh, Satan will say, oh, God, look at them. They are your children, your sons and your daughters, and they are committing sins. Oh, they are not your sons and daughters. They are my sons and daughters. They will despise God and mock God like that. So those who are born of God cannot commit sins. It says the seed of God abides in the one who is born of God. Here, the seed of God refers to the word of God, the truth. Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God in the parable of the heart field. Also, 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. All Adam's descendants who are born after the fall of Adam had dead spirits, but those who accept Jesus Christ are forgiven of their sins and are born again. We are born again with the new life because we have accepted the Word of God, which is the living and enduring Word of God. Also, the seed of God can be Jesus Christ. First, John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, who is God, as in John chapter 1, verse 1. God is the Word. Word is God. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us on this earth. He obeyed the will of God and fulfilled God's providence completely on this earth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and I am the way and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Unless through Jesus Christ, we cannot go to the Father. We cannot go to heaven. We cannot gain eternal life. He explained that we can go the way of eternal life only through Jesus Christ. But Jesus could not become the seed of God just by coming to this earth in human flesh. He could become the seed of God because he completely lived by the word of God and fulfilled the law with love by being crucified and resurrecting on this earth. If you love God, you will keep His commandments. If you love God first, what will you do? You'll just live by the 66 books of the Bible. So God is saying, if you love God, you will just live by all His words. So the Lord fulfilled the law with His love, with love. So that's why you go into the Holy Spirit. If you fulfill the law with love, it means you go into the Holy Spirit. Then you will resemble God, true sons and daughters of God. And God will bless them so much. He would want to give them everything. In my case, not just those who are in the Holy Spirit, but if I find those who are in spirit, I'll be so happy. If I see anybody who is in Holy Spirit, regardless of age or sex, I want to give everything. If I have anything, I would like to give them everything. So man of spirit, nobody will be poor. Why? Because God will give them. And even though God doesn't give them through me, He will give them blessings. So if they have their own ability, so they can be rich. And if there are other situations, and if they can't be rich through me, God will give them blessings. Because they're a man of spirit. They're true sons and daughters of God, and God will supply them with everything. And such people, they will become rich. Not just the health. So he could become the seed of God because he completely lived by the word of God and fulfilled the law with love. When this Jesus Christ dwells in us, we can gain a new life. So the pastors, candidates that I'm calling, I'll supply them. I'll give them their tuition fees, even some allowances. And if they open any church, I'll give them, provide with them the money to open a church. Some people misunderstand my word and they think we'll unconditionally give some tens of thousands of dollars when they open a church, but I want to give this kind of money to real servants of God. If they're really men of God, I want to give them tens of thousands of dollars to open the churches, especially if those who are called nowadays, if they open a church, I will supply them with everything so they won't have any hardship in the church. Even allowances. So that they will lack nothing because they are so lovely. And I'm trying to look for such people for such a long time. And if I find one, what would the allowances matter? If some, from time to time, I'll buy them suits and for women dresses or suit. And if they have any family, I will supply enough to support their family. Why would I do that? Because they obey the word of God. And they become, because I believe that they will obey the word of God and they will become the servants of God, whom God pleases. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to supply them. Brothers and sisters, those who accept Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit and are saved. But this Holy Spirit is not the seed of God. The Holy Spirit testifies to the truth so that we can believe in Jesus Christ and He gives us the strength to live by the truth. Namely, He helps us to have the seed of God in us so that we can gain a new life. Even though we have received the Holy Spirit, we cannot be saved in the end if the seed of God, the truth, does not dwell in us. In Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, through the parable of the 10 minas, we can see the cases where we cannot be saved, even though we have received the Holy Spirit. When he was going to a distant country, a nobleman gave 1 mina to each of his 10 slaves. He gave them some seed money so that the slaves could do merchandising and make a profit. When the master came back, one slave left 10 minas with 1 mina, and another 5, and they received the reward accordingly. But still other slave did not do any merchandise until the master came back. He just kept the money in a handkerchief. The nobleman was angry with this lazy slave and took away the 1 mina from him. Here, the nobleman symbolizes our Lord, and the 1 mina symbolizes the Holy Spirit. To do the merchandise and make a profit with 1 mina is that those who receive the Holy Spirit must practice the truth and bear spiritual fruits. So God gives everybody the same Holy Spirit, 1 mina to everybody. God doesn't give one to one person a big Holy Spirit and to another one small Holy Spirit. It's not like that. God gives them the same Holy Spirit. They have to change their heart into truth and possess the faith of a grown adult. They have to keep in mind the words they hear and learn and cultivate them in their heart. They have to cast away hatred, envy, temper, adultery, greed, arrogance, and other evils, and they have to bear the fruit of goodness such as love, meekness, peace, truthfulness, and humbleness. The Holy Spirit constantly gives them realization. He gives them grace and strength so they can change. And this envy and jealousy is such a bad thing. Your children, even though they are young, so young, they all have, you should teach them so they won't have any envy or jealousy. Suppose you go into spirit and go to a good dwelling place, and will you send your children to paradise only because they couldn't even throw away envy and jealousy? The Holy Spirit helps us have the Word of God in us by delicately intervening in our lives, saying something like, you should not hate and get angry like that. God does not like it. Understand others' viewpoint and endure with them and with forgiveness and love. Pray continually and be faithful. Rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. If you do not obey such a voice of the Holy Spirit and not live by the Word of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit will become increasingly fainter. As time goes, the grace of the first love will diminish. You will be stained by the world, and your faith, as small as a mustard seed, will also be taken away. Just like 1 mina that was kept put away in a handkerchief was taken away, the Holy Spirit might be extinguished. The Holy Spirit might be extinguished. And it tells us not to put out the Holy Spirit. Unless we circumcise our heart, God will take the Holy Spirit away. He will blot us out from the book of life. Unless we wash our robes, unless we circumcise our heart, our names will be erased. The latter half of 1 John 3:9 says, because he is born of God. If you are born of God, you cannot commit sins. Please keep it in mind. If you have the thinking, willingness to commit sins, you know that you are born of the devil. So if you are born of the devil, you will just give up and submit to the devil. If that's the case, you have to cling to God even more. You have to drive it away. As I said in the morning, when I was doing the working in the construction site, I was so tired and I couldn't attend dawn prayer meetings because I was too tired. But Holy Spirit would wake me up and I could attend dawn prayer meetings. But when I didn't obey 3 times, the Holy Spirit didn't wake me up anymore. So what did I do? I was so shocked. Oh, Holy Spirit would wake me up, but He wouldn't anymore. So I was so shocked. I'm not too sure, but whether it was the Lord or the Holy Spirit. But anyway, God woke me up in the early morning, but I wouldn't give up. I wanted to recover, so I repented. And that's when you fast, like 3 days, or at least 1 day. That's when you fast. I don't know where, for what you fast. So, if you have any disconnection in the communication with God, you have to fast and repent so you can recover quickly. And if you just leave it, and you'll be disconnected forever. So, you must I never let go of the connection with God, and that would be my death. It'd be same as hell, living in hell. Because he's born of God. Jesus, who is born of God, is sinless. The above verse is saying that we who are born again through this sinless Jesus must not commit sins again. If we are born of God, we must have the seed of God in us. If we have the seed of God in us, we'll clearly discern the will of God in the works of the Holy Spirit. We will understand God is our Father, and we will realize the love of the Father. We will understand how good goodness, love, and truth are. Even if we get paid millions of dollars for committing sins, we can never commit sins because we understand the heart of God the Father. We will just make our spirit clean as God is pleased. But even if we have the seed of God in our heart by accepting the Lord, we sometimes commit sins before we become sanctified. We hear and learn the truth, but the fleshly mind that wants to commit sins will overcome the truth. But if we keep on filling our heart with the truth in the help of the Holy Spirit, then we can cast off all things of the flesh and works of the flesh. Eventually, we will resemble the sinless Jesus and become worthy of those who are born of God. Brothers and sisters, the seed of God is the Word of God and Jesus Christ, who is the truth itself. But another meaning of the seed of God is the seed of life. You learned about the seed of life, right? Of course, the seed of life is not just in the children of God, but everybody. But when it says his seeds abide in him, in today's reading passage, it refers to a state where one's seed of life is revived by receiving the Holy Spirit, as you learned in the spirit, soul, and body. It means he has become a child of God, for his spirit is revived. When did our spirit die? When did the spirit die? When Adam committed sin, he was a living spirit. But as God said, you will surely die, his spirit died, so he became a man of flesh. But the seed of life, that seed didn't become extinguished. It's completely inactive, completely covered by flesh. So this is the seed of life. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will awake this seed of life that is inactive. By accepting Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit as you listen to the Word of God. This seed will revive. So I explained in detail about this seed of life in the Genesis lectures. God puts this seed of life in each one's spirit and gives to everybody in the sixth month of pregnancy. The children of Adam, who committed sins, became unable to communicate with God, for their spirit is dead. But God gave man the seed of life so they could seek and meet God. The seeds of the plants will sprout and begin to grow as they are supplied with nutrients and water in proper environment. Similarly, if as we receive the Holy Spirit, our seed of life is revived and our spirit is revived. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the truth, the seed of life will gain power and our spirit will grow up. As we do that, we can experience various works of God who makes impossible things possible. Namely, all things will go well with us and we'll be healthy as our soul prospers. We'll enjoy health, youthfulness, richness, and prosperity, and we can receive answers to whatever we ask in prayer. On the contrary, the seed of life will lose its strength if we live in untruths. Even if the seed has sprouted, it'll wither away unless it is constantly supplied with water and nutrients. It's the same with the seed of life. I hope you will always dwell in the truth and keep the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will have many testimonies of God's grace and blessings, and you will go into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Show your works transcending space and time. Nadia from Moldova, depression, go away, light come. Natalia of Uzbekistan, let the property right of the house, let the problem be resolved. Sun Hui Huang, last stage breast cancer, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, go away. Li Song Hyun, the swallowing in the abdomen and the inflammation in the spine, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Zhang Wei Chen, the cut on the head, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Sui Yo Wu, let him get the permission, government permission for the forestry. Father, give them health. All cancers, last stage, metastasized cancers, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All kidney, lungs, intestines, livers, stomachs, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. High and low blood pressure, diabetes, go away. Give them strength and energy. All kinds of germs, viruses, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Light come. Father, give them peace throughout the week. Father, let them have peace in the Lord. Give wisdom and understanding to the students. Let them study well. Let them excel in their studies. And Father, work in all their environments, circumstances. Give them grace so that they won't be tempted by the world. From elementary to middle school and high school and college students, Father, give them grace. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.